All right, recharge.
Yeah,
there you go.
This is Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug
and Scott Hill.
There you go, and we're talking about Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween now. Yeah, we're breaking new ground here. 2 hours.
Yeah, awesome.
We broke it up because we really wanted to talk about felt, like we said before.
Yeah.
So now we're gonna get into the gooey stuff.
Well, we did some great stuff on felt. Now we're gonna do some hopefully great stuff on Halloween. We've got some. I hope what we've put together is kind of interesting to folks. Because
very interesting to us.
I sit there and read, and I was fascinated every moment. So
yeah.
Let's dig in. First of all, it's a Celtic.
Yeah.
The origins of Halloween are the Celtics back in, what, way back in Ireland.
There's
okay.
Many dates out there. I noticed that. I mean, they just talked about what went on. And
yeah, well, they were talking. This was obviously before Christianity went into the British Isles, and so it's all Celtic. So they had this. I need the cheat sheet. I'm so bad at this. First of all,
Halloween itself.
Halloween is actually the eve of. What's now All Saints Day.
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing was called...
Samhain.
I thought it was Samhain.
Samhain. Should be on there.
Yeah, it's Samhain.
Samhain. Which is actually, if you look at the American pronunciation, would be Samhain.
Yeah, if you read the word in American, it would be Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not pronounced that way.
Mm-hmm.
It would be pronounced Samhain.
Samhain, yeah. Or Samhain. I thought I read it Samhain, but maybe I'm just trying to sound more exotic.
Samhain. And that was actually a three-day festival.
Yeah.
A three-day festival.
And a lot of stuff went on.
It was quite an amazing festival. Yeah. And it was 3 days. It was... nowadays, it would be, like, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And, which would be, what, All Saints Day, All Something Else Day, and All Souls Day. I have it written down
one
somewhere.
Thing we should note, though, the way their time worked, which is, I mentioned, this is the same thing as the Old Testament also. They did the same thing in the Old Testament, well, in the Bible. It was a sunset to sunset day.
Right, their day started at sunset.
Yeah.
That was a new day when the sun set.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously in modern, at least America, and I think Europe as well, a day begins at sunrise.
Uh-huh.
So it was their day, like, you know, if you said, oh, today is Sunday. Sunday went from sunset to sunset.
Yeah, sunset to sunset.
So, yeah, and then it became another day. But yeah, so that's how come Halloween happened, because that's All Hallows Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, when it became Samhain.
What's on fire?
Something in an ashtray, probably. But when it became Samhain, it would have been at sunset on what is now October 31st. And then it would be that would have been Halloween.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So they had to call that nowadays, because of our, you know, the way we do time,
mm-hmm.
or the days. They called that Halloween, All Hallows Eve,
mm-hmm.
For Halloween.
Yeah.
So.
Now,
that's how Halloween happened, but it was actually, you know, a three-day festival.
Well, this was a turning of the Celtic New Year also. This was the turning of their new year,
yeah.
According to them.
It was the end of the previous year and the beginning of mm-hmm. the next year. But these 3 days, which would have been, you know, from the night of Halloween, you know, October 31st through November 1st, then November 1st through 2nd, and then 2nd through 3rd, those 3 days in, you know, the sunset to sunset to sunset day cycle,
mm-hmm.
Were the time between time. There was no time. That was not part of the previous year, and it was not part of the following year. It was its own time frame.
Yeah.
And it also, this period, was the time when borders.
The border, the ethereal border between the land of the living and the land of the dead.
Was thinnest.
It was the thinnest time.
It was at the thinnest so it was actually possible to
contact.
To make contact during Samhain.
Yeah.
And that was their belief system, which was totally.
Now they believed in fairies too.
Yeah.
They believed in fairies.
They had a lot to do with Celtic.
Now, if I read correctly, obviously religion. We're going to talk a little bit about this too, about the whole negative, the negative aspect of Halloween nowadays.
Yeah. Well, back then it was a time of harvest.
Uh-huh.
It was the last harvest of the year.
Which we held on to that. I mean, when you think about Halloween, you look around and you see a lot of the fall colors. You know
yeah, and one of the images of Halloween is the cornucopia
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, and also that's an image of Thanksgiving as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the time of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
It was they believed in the ancient Celtics believed evidently that the if you had to get your food like. Out of the ground. I don't know, whatever food does, okay? From, you had to get it, like, off of the vine or off of the tree or whatever, wherever it comes from. They out of the package.
Nowadays. Yeah.
I'm very modern, yeah. No, you had to get your food harvested by Samhain in order to, like, because if you did it afterwards,
mm-hmm.
it was considered, tainted by the fairy.
Uh-huh.
That it was then fairies? Were they? What did they believe
fairies.
In?
They believed in fairies.
Not fairies. It was the other ones.
Oh.
What?
I'll get it.
Oh God! Give me that. Unbelievable. What was it? What they believed in their hills and stuff like that? They called it the good folk. Failure to supply the trees would usually result in practical joke. The fairies. It was the fairies. So they would taint it. If you didn't harvest your food by that time, that anything after that would be unconsumable.
Well, why would it be tainted by the fairies, though? Well, like we said, this time of the year, the ethereal barrier between the land of the living and the land of the dead was at its thinnest. And the fairies, they tended to be somewhat,
From what I read, and this is really interesting because they don't these were evidently beings they thought that were actually deceased humans.
Uh-huh.
They were their loved ones, and they lived in these mounds or
mm-hmm.
something. Anyway, the fairies would play
uh-huh.
jokes and stuff
uh-huh.
like that. Hence the mayhem around
very
Halloween.
Very very joking.
Yeah,
pranksters, so to say,
and there were good ones and bad ones, just like humans. But what happens is they believed that the fairies would play jokes and,
uh-huh.
and obviously taint the harvest after Samhain, so
yeah.
that you couldn't eat any food that,
mm-hmm.
that you grew
mm-hmm.
if it was harvested after.
Exactly. Now we were talking a little bit about the evil aspect. I want to read this. This is very important. That's why I guess I highlighted the whole thing.
Oh no! But okay.
There's not too many big words here, so I think we can probably get through it.
Oh good.
aspects of evil that are associated with like Halloween. Celts did not have demons or devils in their belief system. I want to make that very clear. I want to make sure that people understand that because. I mean, coming from the original, this is where Halloween started. And there's a lot of, I'm not going to sit here and defend, Halloween and say it's a good holiday. You should practice it and be happy that Halloween comes. Because some people are going to obviously just keep going on saying it's a holiday for the devil.
Well, that's what the, modern powerful religions would have you believe.
Yeah. The fairies, however, were often considered hostile and dangerous to humans. Because they were seen as being resentful of men taking over their lands. That was the mounds you were talking about.
Oh, okay.
On this night, they would sometimes trick humans into becoming lost in the fairy mounds, where they would be trapped forever. After the coming of the Christians to the Celtic lands, certain of the folk saw the fairies as those angels who had sided neither with God or with Lucifer, in their dispute, and thus were condemned to walk the earth until judgment day. So, I mean, I can understand a little bit of a, you know, animosity there that they're talking about with the fairies themselves, okay?
Well, that goes exactly the opposite, of, or not the opposite, but that doesn't really jive with what I read, at least I what I thought I read. Because I obviously speed read, or sped read, or whatever. But I thought that... I thought that they had said that there was no heaven, no heaven or hell. That that I
well, that's after the Christians came, though.
Yeah, but there before the Christians came, after you passed on, you went to this like, you know, place. I don't know.
Utopia.
And I thought that you were then a fairy, but evidently not.
Well, yeah. Well, in addition to the fairies, many humans were abroad on this night. And this is where it gets kind of. This is where we get the whole Devil's Night thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Many humans were abroad on this night, causing mischief. Since this night belonged neither to one year or the other, Celtic folk believed that chaos reigned, and the people who engaged in horseplay and practical jokes. Okay. This served also as a final outlet for high spirits before the gloom of winter set in. Now, it's not here, but I know I read up on this. A lot of people would go out and raise hell, so to say, and they blame it on the fairies.
Yeah, right.
And so they can get away with it.
Yeah, they can get away with it during that 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they would cause all kinds of mischief, and they'd be like, well, the fairies did it.
Yeah.
Get away with it, you know?
Yeah, and they get away with it.
Now, a lot of people also believed, and this is where the whole trick-or-treating thing comes from, too, which we'll get a little bit into that also, during this time, when this was like, you know, Halloween was in its very, you know, its very adolescent stages, so to say, most people believe that if they left some kind of offering on their porch,
they would
appease the fairies.
Yes. They would also, they would leave what, I think a bowl of milk.
Yeah.
And
or a dummy, they call it a dummy meal.
No, that was something else. That's a different one.
Oh.
Well, they would leave on their porch a bowl of milk and something else, I don't remember. But they would leave this on their porch for the fairies. But the dummy meal was actually they would set a place at their table for these three days.
Yeah, okay.
They would set a place at their table and, you know, make it just like and that was in honor of or for, it was for their loved ones that have passed on.
So
the dummy meal was a separate kind of thing, but it was it obviously, you know, it honors the deceased ones.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing they talk about. I mean, it was a festival that honored the dead, but in that aspect, it also was a festival that honored life also. That's how they looked at it from both sides. That's why I kind of get upset when I hear about people we hear about, you know, the pagan holiday. Halloween is a pagan holiday. Did we get somebody on the Yahoo Messenger?
I was just wondering if one of our listeners is going to write about Halloween because I think he's a writer.
Okay.
And he says that Halloween goes all the way back to 1976.
I was 1 year old.
Oh my gosh! Shut up. I'm not talking. I am not talking about age tonight.
Well, let's talk a little bit.
I am ageless tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
We don't know how old Doug is.
Good. Go on.
Let's hit a little bit on the trick-or-treating also. We touched on that, but let's go a little deeper into this. During the course of these hijinks, like we were talking about a minute ago, many of the people would imitate fairies, like we said, and go from house to house begging for treats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Failure to supply these treats would usually result in practical jokes being visited on the owner of the house. Since the fairies were abroad on this night, an offering of food or milk was frequently left for them on the steps of the house, so the homeowner could gain the blessings of the good folk for the coming year. The folks who were abroad in the night imitating the fairies would sometimes carry turnips carved to represent faces.
Yeah.
We talked about that already. This is the origin of our modern jack-o'-lantern.
Yes, that we talked about.
Which, so, I mean, it's still hilarious.
I think it's amazing.
I mean, a turnip, that's an obscure kind of vegetable. That's a vegetable. You don't see them too much.
No, not in the United States anyway.
But they have like the big leaves on the end of them, so you can like kind of hold them like that. Like,
oh, that's true. Yeah.
And I can just see somebody with like a little knife just carving a face into one of these things and just walking around on the street. I mean, you got a picture of like all these people.
I think I like the modern jack-o'-lantern better.
Well,
first of all, it's easier to carve. And second of all, you can put the candle inside and light it up and stuff. So I think it's like,
and that's the greatest smell in the world too. When you look at the candle, you're like,
oh yeah,
you, my like family always cut
pumpkin,
yeah,
or whatever. Yeah,
you cut the top off the thing, and you know that's where you put the candle in the top.
Yeah,
and you put that can, you put that top on, and let that thing burn. And you just sit there for a little while, and it would start to char.
Yeah, and you smell
and
that.
You get that aroma.
Yeah,
and that cool air. It's usually cool on that night. You get that cold air, and then that smell.
Yeah,
and it was just that's a wonderful.
It's a definite Halloween.
You people know what I'm
tradition
talking about.
Thing. The Oh, and we were also talking about these jack-o'-lanterns, how elaborate they are nowadays.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, they go all out to carve these things nowadays, and evidently, you know, that's relatively modern, by the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, people spray paint them now.
Oh, they're actually airbrushed. Some people will airbrush the pumpkin, yeah.
And
amazing.
I don't know, that kind of just kills the whole thing, though. I mean, just, I know there's professional pumpkin carvers out there. I know there's a profession for everything nowadays. So I know there's somebody out there who, you know, has made an occupation out of like one time, like for like 1 week out of the year or 2 weeks out of the year, they make all their money carving pumpkins.
Oh yeah.
And the rest of the year they just get to chill and do anything they want. I know there's somebody out there, and I hate you.
Well, it means that they're really talented though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I still hate you though. But yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, that's great. I mean, I was telling you about the pumpkin they carved at, you know, one of my places of employment. And it was just the most amazing, most detailed piece of artwork. And it was carved into the pumpkin. It was beautiful.
Well, you said he actually used, like, little tiny
chisel things.
Yeah,
he did all kinds of
things.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I remember just taking a big old psycho knife and, like, hoping you don't lop your hand off in the process and trying to carve out
a circle for the nose or whatever.
It wasn't a circle. It was just some stupid, like, just horribly deformed nose,
Yeah.
And then, like, a couple of triangles for eyes. And then you got the mouth was the hardest part.
Oh, yeah, because you had to do a curve.
Yeah, you had to do curves and stuff. And that's, no, you know. And I know they came out with, like, I remember that was, like, the big thing, you know, when it came out. It was, like, the pumpkin carving knife. So every parent went out and bought this thing, and it sat all year long and didn't do anything until Halloween. If you hadn't lost it already.
And then, if you haven't lost it, then you dig out the pumpkin carving knife, and it was, well, pretty much the same as using a paring knife. Yeah. but
it did work pretty, it actually worked pretty good.
Yeah.
Because it was a flat blade, so it was like, you could actually detail a little bit more, as opposed to the psycho knife, which is like 15 feet long. And you're trying to carve like this pumpkin. It's only maybe about, you know, okay, let's do it in weight. 5 pound pumpkin.
Right.
It's not a very big pumpkin, you know.
No.
You know, my dad didn't go out and buy like the big monster ones. I wish he did. That'd be really cool. But parents are lame.
You could go out and buy them now.
Yeah,
if you
should.
Yeah.
But we've talked about a lot of things, like, you know, a lot of things that happened. You know, the origins of a holiday. And it's kind of cool to look at it now and see there's a lot of correlations that still come into play. And obviously, the turnips, you know.
The turnips became jack-o'-lanterns.
And there were people, the trick-or-treating thing, I mean, the original thing was like, okay, well, we're going to leave things on our porch to appease the fairies so they don't trash our house. Now, I know trick-or-treat, that used to happen when I was a kid. We go out trick-or-treating, and if somebody was like lame and they like gave us only like, what was a horrible candy, Will? What was a bad candy? I can't really remember.
Well, the people that give you, like, fruit.
Oh, God! Oh, they give you fruit! What kind of joke is this?
You look up there, there's an apple waiting for you.
Yeah, you get an apple. It, first of all, it's heavy. Okay? You're trying to carry, like, 50 pounds of candy over your shoulder.
Throw it back, right to the window.
Wait, I mean, it's heavy. It's a fruit, too. I mean, we're not here for our health. I know these people had the best of intentions. And, okay, some people threw pennies in there. Which,
oh, yeah.
I mean, nowadays I'd be happy to get to that. But back then I'm like, where's the Snickers bar, man? I heard, you know, because we usually actually, like, we'd literally, like, stake out the houses. Walk around and be like, yeah, they got Milk Duds over there, man. All right, cool. So we'd, like, go to that house. I mean, it wasn't, like, one after another. You'd, like, go out and, like, try to find the best houses and get the best
stuff. We always went to the rich neighborhood where they give out the king-size candy bars.
Oh. That was an interesting approach. I never did that. I didn't have a car.
And New Baltimore is like one rich area.
Okay.
And yeah, all the kids would go to this one subdivision.
But like we said though, that
the
was
horrible things were like, oh man, oh gosh, I just hated like getting the little packets of candy corn.
Those
I
are
don't
terrible.
Like candy corn.
Those are terrible.
I never liked
hate them.
I never liked sweet tarts.
Those were terrible too. What is this fascination with having your tongue roll up into up into your nose? what is this fascination? I never understood it. I want to taste this most sour thing possible. I want my whole face to cringe to the point where my muscles are aching in my face.
That was like the Pop Rocks phase.
Those were terrible too.
You know, it was just like all soda, and you're putting it in your mouth. It's going.
I'm glad I missed most of these.
Doesn't anybody like just give up?
We're talking 70s here.
Well, Pop,
like early 80s.
Okay.
Sweet tarts are terrible. I agree.
I mean,
sweet tarts are.
I always just wanted chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything chocolate would be wonderful. You know,
so
money.
Parents.
There were people with their quarters.
Well,
and
we were just quarters now. Okay.
Nowadays.
That was a video game back in the day. So
yeah.
That was a good setup. But the people we were talking about. Just a second ago, people throwing pennies in there.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with pennies?
Nowadays, not much.
Just flicking at somebody, you know, in school, in the back of the head. I mean, that's what you did when you were a kid anyways. I mean, that's all you do with pennies. The apples, obviously. We talked about that a second ago. Parents! There's parents out there listening. I know there is.
But these are the cool ones. Only cool parents listen to Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
So, I don't think... Yeah, I guess we don't have to...
And also, the ones that listen to Ghostly Talk are going to be the ones who are probably really into Halloween anyway.
Well, I mean, I already heard about Tom's House from Paper Target.
Oh, yeah.
I'm scared to go
it's
there.
It's only getting better and better. I just was there.
PaperTarget.net.
Tom really is. He's like the... This guy we're talking about, he runs PaperTarget.net.
Mm-hmm.
Go to PaperTarget.net. Really cool guy. Goofy guy. And he's a daddy.
He's also a skeptic.
Complete skeptic.
Yeah.
He's also a daddy, and he has got to be probably the coolest father.
I mean, I have
to say, one of the coolest fathers I've seen. I mean, his kids are completely involved in his life.
Yeah.
And they're involved in his work, too. I mean, we've seen the pictures of his kid dressed up. His one little son with that big psycho mask on with this gigantic knife. And he's about 2.5, 3 foot tall. He's ready to hack and dash his way through society right now. This kid is ready to tear it up. The kid's, like I said, he's a cool daddy. So I don't think we really have to hit Tom with that. I think he's going to be getting all cool stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to basically set up a haunted house. It's like living
in
his front yard.
In his front yard. It's a haunted, like, yeah, it's so professional.
Well, he put up tombstones and then, like, threw down fresh dirt on his lawn, so it looks like it was like fresh graves.
Oh, my gosh.
he actually has two coffins he's gonna have out, too.
Oh, my gosh.
We had this one guy. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was a little kid, and I walked up to this house, and there was this dummy on the porch. A dummy, right? Just laying back. People picture this. Just laying back. It's a dummy. It's stuffed with newspapers or whatever, and just a dumb mask on its face. Completely still. Didn't move. And we're like, oh, okay. Well, this house is all dark. And we saw a bowl of candy. Sitting there, we're like, hee, 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 we're going to get the candy. So we go walk out to get the candy, and this hand grabs my arm.
Oh, man.
There's a guy sitting there. Imagine. Scared the living beep, beep, beep out of me.
Thank you for pre-editing.
I never ran so fast in my life.
Did you take any, or did you just...
I dropped it. I was in fear.
And he was like,
no, come back. I was just kidding around. He really wanted to go back. He felt bad, you know? But, I mean, those are the cool people. I mean, no apples. Leave the apples alone.
Yeah.
Those are covered in caramel. That's cool.
Do you remember McDonald's certificates?
Yeah, no, that's pretty
fried.
Cool.
That wasn't so bad.
We're talking about efficiency here, too, people. I mean, we're going out... I consider myself a kid still, so I'll say that. I include myself in with them. We're going out to pretty much get as much candy as we can without breaking our shoulder. So, you know, you said you got to think about it. Like a McDonald's certificate, that's a meal.
Yeah, that's true. Well, back then it was a hamburger and fries.
Which is a meal.
Nowadays I think it's just fries.
Now that's like
or something.
Yeah, that is a meal back then for a kid, but now
yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Do you know there's... You were telling me about these. The most modern Halloween, like, candy thing is actually, what, Coke and Pepsi? They come in little teeny trick-or-treat size things. You were telling me about these. I have not seen them yet.
We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
I told you the world was coming to an end.
Yeah, that's it. Now that Coke and Pepsi are into the Halloween thing, I think we're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Picture this, people. These cans are, like, half the size. And they're big enough to put in your bag. As far as, like if we had to go from a scale of 1 to 10 as far as quality goes for candy here,
yeah,
that's a very high, that's high quality.
Oh, that's going to be, that would be a
You're talking about pure
top.
Caffeine here.
Yeah.
And for a kid, that's like gold. Okay,
yeah.
So, I mean, very good. So, I mean, brilliant marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant marketing. I mean, who would have thought?
But talk about commercial.
We got actually an interesting question here, and I don't know if we can actually field this one. But some, any idea where the whole color scheme of orange and black came from?
No.
I have absolutely no clue.
I have absolutely no idea.
They look cool together.
I have a feeling that it's probably that those two colors are probably more from the current area of Halloween, where the orange is made from the pumpkin.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the black from the black cat kind of thing,
right,
or the dark night.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of... superstitions that come around the holiday, which we haven't even touched on that yet.
Oh, we have to do that.
Can I?
After
the break?
Yeah.
This is like the greatest thing ever.
This is the one thing I know you were like, okay, I'm printing this out on a separate page.
I'm doing it. Somebody's got to come along with me.
All right, let's do the break, and then we'll do that.
All right, we'll be back in a second.
It's paranormally scientific. It's Ghostly Talk. You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts,
Doug and Scott L.
Okay, here we go.
I wish I had known about that orange and black thing, you know, but
I
have no idea.
That actually is a very, very, very cool question. So
I read so much. I read about the customs back in Ireland, obviously, the customs in England, the customs in Germany. I read about the customs, and of course we boiled them all down into generalizations, but the customs that we know about here in the United States. I read about all these things. Right? And nothing mentioned orange and black. But the one thing that you found that was totally awesome, and I remember hearing this, but I never actually did it, was...
We're going to meet a witch Halloween night.
Yeah, is this an urban legend? Or is this,
We'll find out.
It might be true. We'll find out.
Me and Doug are going to meet a witch Halloween night.
Yeah.
We decided we're going to do this. Just like the Morrow Road thing I went through, I'm jumping like head first into this one. This is just too cool.
Yeah.
All right, check this out. Superstitions say that to meet a witch, you have to put your clothes on inside out and walk backwards on Halloween night. At midnight, you would meet a witch. That's all it is.
That's it. Yeah, that's the...
It's simple. It's direct. The only problem I have with it, though, is what time do you do it?
I know. Do you do it, like, right at midnight,
or do you
have to do it any time? You obviously have to do it before midnight.
I mean, we have the flexibility where we can do it, you know.
Yeah, anytime.
And we'll do it anytime we want.
Yeah.
She'll probably turn you into a toad.
Well, I wonder if you meet that kind of witch or a real... Because if you meet a real witch, like, you know, the Wiccans, I already know a lot of them. Well, not a lot of them, but I know several.
All right, if you walk backwards long enough, you'll eventually run into one.
Okay, so what we're doing here, what we're going to do Halloween night, though, is like everybody we can get, we're all going to be able to put their clothes on inside out. And we're going to have people all over the place walking backwards.
Did you put your underwear on inside out and everything, and your socks, and... You can't put shoes on inside out.
That could work in our favor.
Oh, yeah, it could be the underwear from the previous day. There you go.
Okay.
Less laundry to do the next week, yeah. But
I agree. That'll work out good. But I want to try this personally. I really want to give this a shot. We got another pop up here.
No. Oh yeah, Dave is laughing at Will. If you walk backwards long enough, you'll eventually run into one.
I mean, seriously, this is like this. Of all the stuff we've read on this particular holiday, that was the coolest thing I think I read. That was like solid, like, hey.
Yeah, that's something you can try.
This is something you can really get hands on.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to go driving around that night. So I always like to take my little Halloween drive and watch all the kids, you know, walk around and reflect on my childhood and cry helplessly in my car, getting older and older.
Well, back in the traditions, it was actually adults and young men.
Yeah.
Who would do this begging stuff. And it used to be a performance.
They used to actually have to, like, sing songs.
A lot like... In modern times, that's more akin to caroling. You know, Christmas caroling.
When we read about that, I'm like, don't you do that for Christmas caroling?
Yeah, you would go from house to house and sing these songs, and then people would give money, I guess. It was just money around here. But
okay, they give you a thank you and tell you to get off their porch.
Yeah, or they come out with a shotgun. Yeah. these young men and adults would go about and actually do a performance.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd get their, like, you know, peanut butter cup or whatever. Actually, they called them in all these things we read, they said gifts and food. So evidently, you know, you could get a gift as well.
You said peanut butter cups, though.
Well, that's one of my favorites.
All
that's
right.
Why I mentioned that. Yeah. You
can't email peanut butter cups, though.
No.
Yeah, you do love those things.
Oh, yes. I mean, can eat peanut butter cups. Like
peanut butter cups and Diet Pepsi.
I'm supposed to start.
If that isn't like a sugar coma right there, I don't know what it is.
I'm supposed to start a diet soon, so I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But,
No, but I want to see people walking backwards with their clothes on inside out.
I think that would be awesome. I'm not kidding around with it,
but there is a funny side to it. That's why I read it. I started laughing hysterically because I'm like, that's ridiculous. But hey, let's give it a shot. Why not?
I'll try it.
You can try it. You can do it. I mean, anybody out there can give it a shot.
What are we doing on Halloween night? Are we doing anything special? Is there anything going on, like Michigan Ghostbusters related?
I think it's just going over to Tom's house, actually.
Oh. Well, that's the place to be, my goodness.
Well, definitely.
He goes all out, yeah.
It's going to be a busy night, but I'm going to try to get out there myself.
Oh, man, you know, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a very, very active night.
Is it a band night kind of thing? Like, are there going to be huge parties?
Oh, there always is, but, I mean...
Are you scheduled, or...
No.
Oh.
We took Halloween off this year.
When's the album coming out?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's soon.
Fax California and ask them.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
No, definitely something to try out, though. Check it out. Give it a shot. See what you find. I mean, if anybody emails us saying, oh, my God, I saw this ridiculous witch. Don't mock us.
Okay, here's the deal, dudes. I put on my clothes inside out, I walk backwards, and this witch, like, swooped out on a broom exactly like you picture.
Now,
I'd be like, my gosh, we shouldn't have aired that then.
One thing, and I'm going to try to keep this as tactful as possible, too. Girls, ladies, be careful. Because we're putting your clothes on inside out. You mentioned the underwear thing already.
Yeah.
There's some weirdos out there. I know it. I'm making it public right now. Do the underwear really do they really count? I mean, do you have to put your clothes, like, crisscross? Or they put their stuff on backwards?
Yeah, they did backwards.
God, I hated them. Anyways.
But it's not like you put them on the outside of your clothes. You still wear them in the same spot.
Oh, okay, so you just put them on backwards.
It's just them inside out.
Okay, so we don't have to wear our underwear on the outside of our pants then.
Right, yeah, you don't do that.
Thank God.
No, you could do that in Detroit and you'd fit right in. But, no, I mean the... speaking of Detroit, do you know what we were going to talk about for about 2 hours on this show? Which is only a two-hour show. We were going to talk about Devil's Night.
Yeah. Now, what are we going to talk about? Okay,
there's nothing to talk about. Well, that's the problem.
No, there's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about, but it's like all nothing.
Well,
it's all amazing.
We were trying to find out where it came from.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Like, okay, every single year here in Detroit, okay, because we're a Detroit-based show.
Right, okay. we're the Haunted Basement Studios in Fraser, Michigan.
Which is pretty close to Detroit.
Yeah, it's about 15 miles
north
of Detroit.
So,
yeah.
Devil's Night every year here. I mean, at one time, it was ridiculous.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
At one time, it was like, you do not go near Detroit on Devil's Night. You will die.
There were also times when, I remember, we would, you know, like, hide in bushes outside our houses. We would get on our roofs with our
somebody just read our minds.
What?
I don't know how long ago this came in. One of the Epic people just said, hey, don't know if I missed it, but did you ever find out about Devil's Night?
We're working on it right now. Time stamped.
Yeah, we're working on it right now.
Yeah,
enjoy.
We're doing that right now. No, he said that 3 full minutes ago.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
okay.
he did. He read our minds. So anyway, the... Devil's Night is
proof.
We would get up on top of our roofs with hoses in order to, you know, squirt.
Oh, yeah, anybody come here and try to TP your front, you know, your yard.
And throw the rotten eggs and TP and that kind of stuff. And, oh, soap windows.
Oh, those were the worst. Those were the worst.
Trying to get it off. But the, this was a huge, huge thing when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, at least in this neighborhood, probably because we have a, you know, vicious regular ice cream man.
Well, you fear the ice cream man.
Yeah, there's a lot less of that going on. There's very, very little soaping of windows.
Oh, they're just burning. No, they're just like, they just resort to complete. The kids nowadays, they scare me. They just go from zero to 60 in like 1 second.
Well, I hope there's some kind of like absolutely vile and debauchery. Kind of thing going on with a rave or something for all the kids, so they can just go do their thing and it won't affect us. You know, that would be great. But normally
there's got to be a rave somewhere.
I don't understand them, but anyway, we would like hide in the bushes. It was like this big thing, you know, to protect your house.
Yeah, I remember those
on
days.
Devil's Night, and then it became less and less and less as I got older. And because less and less violence actually happened on
there
Devil's
were people
Night.
That would break windows. That was not cool.
That was not cool. No.
That was not cool.
And people that would happen around.
You know, my family, I know, just, and I know a lot of people's families had the same opinion. They didn't mind getting the house TP'd. That's all right. You know, that's
right.
That's all
even
good
soap
fine.
On the windows. You can
soap
you
on
can
the windows can go
off.
Away. You know, peanut butter under the door handle for your car.
Uh-huh.
What else is it? Well, wait. I didn't do any of this.
Well, the rotten eggs were kind of nasty
that's
smelling, but you would just, you know, wash it away with the hose.
I mean, I've had it all done to me, like, in a period of, like, a couple months anyway, so I'm not going to,
you had hamburger.
I had full meals thrown on my car for some ridiculous reason. So, I mean, I could literally live off enough food these people kept throwing on my car. I didn't get that. I'm not going to get into the details, but.
Well, some of that meat will actually eat the paint off your vehicle.
Well, bologna.
Yeah.
That was a classic one right there. You put bologna over somebody's car. And you let it sit there in a hot sun for a little while, it would literally burn the paint off. And you would, well, I'm not sorry, it wouldn't burn the paint off, it would discolor the paint.
Oh, in a circle
in
or whatever?
Yeah, a circle.
Yeah.
Another good one was you saran wrap somebody's car.
Oh, yeah.
I love doing it. I mean, that was a pretty funny one.
Caution tape was funny.
No, you literally saran wrap the car shut, where they'd have to, like, just dig and peel and dig and peel.
Yeah, because trying to... You could to tear saran wrap when it's like layered thick is like quite difficult.
No, you always do. Well, we used to do it to our drum major every day before when I was in school band. I'll say it. I don't care. We used to do it to our drum major before, like we had a big parade to do, and so he'd be late all the time and get yelled at. He was a drum major. He was like the guy in front. So you know, we just like we'd come out there the night before and just wrap his car up. I'm talking about four or five rolls.
Did he ever catch on? Like that?
Oh, he knew. We didn't care.
Oh.
Like, hey, Ryan, you're late again. What's going on? Why are you late? But yeah, that was a classic one. I mean, the destructive stuff isn't cool though. I'll never.
No.
I mean, I told you. I knew what my parent, my mom did to him. Well, my mom did.
Yeah.
She was part of it. Some kids come to TP my house. My mom caught him. So she's like, hey, you know what? If you're doing that outside, that means I have to clean it up. Me and my husband have to clean it up. Why don't you come in the house and TP his room, and then he'll have to clean it up. So I come home from work that night. I'm dead tired. I walk in my room, and I'm like, yeah, think about this. Your room is covered in toilet paper. I couldn't see anything on the walls. I mean, that's like, thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. Yeah, I still think about it. Thank you. But I mean, those are fun pranks. I mean, that's part of Halloween.
Different.
That's part of Halloween.
That goes
all the way back.
The jokes, yeah, that kind of the practical jokes.
That's not hurting anybody.
But
really
not, not the violence. Which here in Detroit, oh my God.
Now, Devil's Night is obviously the night before Halloween.
Yeah,
and we've tried.
Which is really interesting because Halloween is actually the eve. You know, Halloween is All Hallows' Eve.
Yeah.
So that this is what the eve of an eve.
Yeah.
Has become some kind of.
And we tried to. We tried everything to find out where did this come. Where did it come from, basically? And well, Jim, where are you from again?
Massachusetts.
We asked him, and he said, "Yeah, we had Devil's Night. Well, was it, a scare? Like everybody had to be in by like 10 o'clock at night where their curfews laid on everybody, where, you know, where their warnings posted on the news every day, like a week beforehand, and it was not nearly as dramatic. Detroit
is where
the capital of Devil's Night.
Yeah. And for some reason, every time if you type in Devil's Night, you're going to get two things off of Google. Okay, you're going to get everything Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean, Detroit this, Detroit that, Detroit the other thing. And you're going to get Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem.
That rap.
Apparently they did a song called Devil's Night.
Yeah, and so you're going to get those two things. And you don't get anything on, like, the history of Devil's Night, which is, it's unfortunate.
Saran wrapping the outhouse seat. That's just gross, man.
How old are you, Payless?
That's gross. That's
the outhouse seat. Oh my gosh, that would be horrible. Because you just wouldn't have time. Okay, this sucks.
Man,
yeah,
No, I couldn't handle that. Somebody get hurt.
Well, so, you catch someone and say, not only do you have to tear that stuff off, but you gotta, because somebody made a mess there.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be really bad.
Thank you for your contribution to the show tonight. We appreciate
that. Yeah, you've really grossed us out.
we're gonna get in trouble because I can just hear, like, tomorrow or, like, a couple days from now where, like, all this stuff, like, just goes down and, like, everybody's house gets TP'd and, like, it goes in the news, and all of a sudden we hear...
Yeah, Gopher Talk gets in the news.
We're playing Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne, where it's all our fault.
Yeah, we're devil worshippers or something.
I'm sure it'll
come
somehow.
Well, that's what the Christians will say.
Yeah, but all this stuff, it goes back, though. It really does go back to the traditions of the pranks and the jokes. And
But Devil's Night does not make sense. It's a horrible thing.
I wish we could find more information. I really could. They have actually, I did do a little reading. I found something. They've actually, we know that here in Detroit, I don't know how much anybody follows it in other parts of the world, but they've actually assembled squads and battalions of firefighters.
And volunteers,
and
firefighters,
and we've turned
everything.
They've really turned it around, and it's very good to hear that. They've really turned it around. And there's still going to be problems. You're going to have problems no matter how hard you work. But they turned it around. They call it Angels Night now. And when I first heard that, I'm like,
I thought it was corny. I thought it was the corniest thing in the world.
But the effort's there, and it's a good thing, and they really are trying to. I hate to see our city burn down.
Oh yeah.
It's right.
Well, I don't know. There are some tracts of the city that need it.
That's what I originally thought. I'm like, well, they're doing the city a favor. They're just burning down these. But it moves on to occupied housing.
That's where the problem is, because then you've got all this strain on the firefighting system, because you can't have an uncontrolled fire going on.
Yeah.
Because it's uncontrolled. It'll spread to occupied houses and stuff.
What I honestly think, though, it obviously spawns from the original traditions of the pranks, but it's been taken way too far.
Yeah.
That's not a prank. That's arson. That's arson. That's against the law.
Not warranted at all.
Yeah, so...
it's not even part of the tradition.
So, yeah, even though...
Officially a part of the tradition.
Well, some people... I remember, I watched it.
Well, okay, you know what we didn't say? Wait, one sec.
Go, yeah.
One thing that we didn't mention about Halloween is that it's one of the four fire festivals or fire rituals of the Celtic traditions. So... And what they would do
is... There's some nutbag arsonist out there who worships the fire demon or something.
Well, what they would do is they would actually... They had centers where the official Celtic fires were, and they would actually create them... I don't know if they'd create them once a year on Halloween or if they'd create them four times a year. Mm-hmm. But they would create them. Everybody would put the fires out in their hearts.
They would rub the sticks.
They didn't pull out their big lighters or anything. They rubbed the sticks together, created the main fire. Everybody would put out the fires in their hearths, because this was before, central heating and cooling.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd put out the fires in their hearths and ovens, and then they would go with a torch or whatever they had to do to get, like, this official fire from a center where the official fire was. And then they'd light their fires in their hearths from that.
Yeah.
So there is a fire
that it could obviously
tradition.
Stem from something like that. I guess we tried to find out.
But if you wanted to stick to the tradition,
okay,
you need to set fire to your own house.
Yeah.
Okay, so all the people in Detroit who are thinking about doing that, it's your own fire.
Have a controlled fire. Have a controlled burn, we'll put a little pit up and Well,
you can't do that around here anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do it in Detroit. You can't do it in Fraser.
Well, yeah, you do it in Detroit, you get arrested, obviously.
Yeah.
With all the crap that's going on down there. But
I think in Detroit, if you flick your bick, you'll get... I mean...
Well, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
If you flick your cigarette butt out of the window of your car, forget it, you're going to jail.
Oh, yeah. Cause they, because they're really, really adamant against that.
Yeah, that's so...
kind of thing.
I mean, it's happening right here. I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, we can give you a first-person point of view on that.
Because, yeah, we are so near Detroit,
yeah,
we get the news.
Every single... It's getting a lot better, though. It's getting a lot better here, and... the numbers are still there. There's still stuff that gets burnt, or but they're on top of it now, though, which is a really great thing. So I do give those people kudos, because those people are out there risking their hides. We're not talking about people that just like to light fires. These are criminals.
Yeah,
these
exactly.
are people that get off on this kind of stuff. I was just saying a minute ago, I actually saw this video of this guy who's an arsonist, and this was the creepiest thing I ever saw, because this guy, literally, he set this building on fire, and he videotaped it. And he's sitting there. You can hear his voice in the background because the mic's picking it up on the video camera. And you can hear him going, "Look at it burn. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I love it. Oh." Like, I mean, I don't know what he was doing with his other hand. sorry.
Now I got editing again. Oh, man.
But, I mean, this guy was literally, like, just all about it. And that's what a lot of these people do. I'm sorry. That's just
It's criminal. It is not okay, not even one night a year, to burn down other people's house. If you want to burn down your own house, do it.
Yeah.
But not other people's.
Yeah, so...
Not even if it's an abandoned house.
Smokey the Bear says don't burn down houses.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone. Be cool.
Haven't seen Smokey the Bear in a long time.
He was annoying.
I don't watch Sunday morning cartoons
anymore. Smokey the Bear says don't smoke cigarettes. Okay, yeah, three packs of Marlboro.
But
I listen to that.
There's one other Detroit connection to Halloween that
I
wanted
to talk about. This.
You know, the thing is, there's so much about Halloween. It's so fascinating. Just if you want to know more about Halloween, obviously,
go out there and find out.
Go out there.
We want to touch on the big things, like the big points.
Right.
We
forgot the fire connection,
yeah,
too, as well. But we do know these things. It's just that there's so much to Halloween.
And we also wanted to make it fun, too.
I think we've had a lot of fun.
I know, because Halloween, man, it's such a nostalgic time of year for all of us.
Oh,
I don't care who you are, how lame you were when you were a kid, whatever. I mean, I'm not knocking you, but, I mean, Halloween was that time where it was like, I can be anything I want to be for one day a year. I can be anything I want to be.
Yeah.
And it was a fantasy. It was a one-day fantasy for you to go out there and live a fantasy out. And, you know, and you'd be treated that way, too.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people, they get into it, and I dressed up as a reverend one year. So everybody was, like, bowing to me and stuff as I'm walking by. I'm
yeah,
like,
people
cool
get into it, and it's totally, totally cool.
Sweet.
But there's one more Detroit connection that I absolutely want. I've been, like, ever since I read this silly article, and it just happened that one line... triggered my memory because it says about Harry Houdini.
Yes.
The infamous escape artist magician person.
The best there ever was.
Yes. He died in Detroit on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. I imagine Ghostly Talk listeners are pretty familiar with Harry Houdini because he was famous in the spiritual and ghostly circles. For going from medium to medium to medium and trying to debunk them or expose them as frauds. And because I don't know what that says, like, psychologically, other than it, you know, obviously he was interested in spiritualism because otherwise why would you go about trying to debunk them, you know? So he was interested. And now this was, you know, back in the, 10s and 20s, you know, or early 1990, or early 1900s. That's it. Excuse me. And, so he was going around trying to do the, you know, expose mediums as frauds, that kind of thing. But I think, like, deep down, I think he really wanted to believe. Otherwise, why would you do that, you know? So what happens is... He was in Montreal.
Let's just note the way he died. Because I remember you're like, let's find out how he died.
Well,
and it was in my brain somewhere when I saw it. I'm like, oh my god, I've known him for years.
Yeah, I know how he did. He was in Montreal, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was in Montreal doing a show, and he challenged
one of the students there.
Yeah, he was at
challenged him because
He challenged.
He was in such perfect condition.
He was
that he could take multiple blows to the stomach or anywhere in
the hardest blow that anybody could muster to the stomach.
And it wouldn't even faze him.
And it wouldn't even faze him.
Yeah. So this particular gentleman said, "I'll take you up on that bet."
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him four good shots to the stomach
before they stopped him.
Before they stopped, because he wanted to beat on him some more.
Yeah.
Beat him hard. Four shots. I mean, anybody out there, well, I know how it feels. I've been punched a few times. But get hit in the gut, man. Oh, that hurts.
Oh, yeah.
But
Houdini, to his credit, he ignored the pain,
mm-hmm.
and he did the show anyway in Montreal.
Yeah, and he was fine.
And with 104-degree temperature. But, yeah, he was outward appearances, he was fine. And he did his show. And then the next show was in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
But Mrs. Houdini, you know, did the back then equivalent of faxing Detroit. I don't know, you know, send a telegram or whatever, or a Pony Express, over to Detroit saying, "Look, we're going to need the best doctor you got."
Uh-huh.
And so they got, Houdini came here,
uh-huh.
and he was admitted to what hospital?
Oh,
the
Grace.
Yeah, Grace Hospital, room 401.
Yes.
And he, basically, the doctor is like, you know, he's like, "Dude, your spleen broke," or whatever. I mean,
he actually ruptured his appendix.
Oh, that's it. Ruptured your appendix.
And he's bleeding internally. There's some big words behind it.
He had a staph infection. Staphylococcus infection.
Very, very, very nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what, and so on Halloween,
He died.
At 126.
To his credit, the doctor did say he understood what happened to him. He took it like a man,
mm-hmm.
and said he was probably the best patient I ever had. He was a complete gentleman.
Yeah.
Because when you know, if I, look, you're going to die. I mean, I'm going to act like a complete jerk. I know I am. I'm going to be like, "Why are you talking about
Oh, I know. Suddenly,
die?
Yeah, suddenly you have, like, you can do whatever you want. Because
nobody's
going to,
everything you do is right,
because you're going to die.
Okay. But he was a gentleman. He said, "Okay, I'm going to die."
And he told the doctor that he did not believe in spiritualism. He said he denounced spiritualism. He said, "That is not, I don't believe in it." And then he said, "But if at all possible..." Or not. These are paraphrasing.
I'm going to pull this from the article.
Oh, do you know, you have the exact words?
Well, actually, he didn't denounce spiritualism.
He told expressed the doc- his disbelief.
He told the doctor...
that he did not believe in spiritualism, and that he would come back and visit his friends.
Let me see here.
At least that's what I thought.
I do have this here. Actually, he was very... Oh, come on. Where's he going? Physical specimen.
Oh, no.
He was the perfect physical specimen.
Well, other than a ruptured appendix, yeah.
Perfect gentleman and patient, like I said before. Houdini told Dr. Kennedy about his disbelief in, told him about his disbelief in spiritualism.
So he did not believe in spiritualism.
And about the promise he had made to try to communicate with his friends after his death. "I am nothing but a fake," he said. "While you, Dr. Ken," he's referring to, "do great things for your fellow man." But there was little Dr. Kennedy could do for Houdini, obviously, who died on the 31st of October.
Right.
And he was expressing his disbelief. He told him about it. But he did tell him, "Look, I've been..."
I promised everybody that I'm going to come back.
As the story goes, he told his wife that he gave her a code.
Secret code.
That he was going to contact her with, and that way she would know it was him.
That it was him from the other side.
And they did have a seance, and they did express, they did pull these things out of her, as far as, they pretty much put her into a trance, and then the medium said, she was there, and she was in and out of a trance, but the medium was there, and he did express, I have the code here, too, if anybody's really interested in hearing about the code. Let's see here.
Well, what's interesting is that part... of that article. And I know that article is genuine. That's from Detroit News or something.
Yeah, this is for Detroit News.
Yeah, that's a genuine article. The legend that I thought from and the legend that I had thought I had heard and thought I had even read in a modern article was that they hold a séance every year on Halloween,
mm-hmm.
to try and contact Houdini.
Uh-huh.
And it has never worked, so they keep holding the seance. I don't know who they are, which is the problem. who are these people who keep holding the seance? Because you keep hearing about these people who are holding the seance, but you never hear who they are.
You were mentioning that. Somebody should contact us about that, please. Let us know. We'd like to interview them.
Yeah, but what happens is then in doing the research for the show, we find out that there was indeed a seance.
Yes. I actually have the paraphrase here if you want to hear it. I'd love to read this. On January 9th, 1929, the Detroit...
By the way, Houdini died on, obviously, October 31st, 1926.
Yeah. And this is January 9th, 1929. The Detroit News reported that Bess, which is his wife, and had indeed received the secret code signal during a seance. According to the story, please, everyone, keep both your feet flat on the floor. Mrs. Houdini appeared to be asleep. A convulsive twitching started the talk with the control spirit guide, Fletcher. Hello, hello, Fletcher. This man is coming now, he says. Hello, Bess, my sweetheart, he says. It is the code you and he used in the mind-reading act. First of all, he says the word Rosabelle. Do you remember all that it stands for? And she replied, oh, yes, the plaintive little figure on the couch answered. Such colorful writing. She courageously sang the words of the song. Rosabelle? I can't sing this. Rosabelle, sweet Rosabelle, I love you more than I can tell. Over me, you've cast a spell. I love you, my sweet Rosabelle. Which is that's a very nice stanza. Fletcher went on. He is smiling now. He is showing me a picture with two curtains. I draw the curtains so, then the secret code of 10 words. Here's the secret code, okay? Number 1 is pray, the word pray. Number 2 is answer. Number 3 is talk. Number 4 is the word then. Number 5 is the word tell. Number 6 is the word will. Number 7 is the word hurry. Number 8 is the word listen. Number 9 is the word look. And number 10 is the word hear. Makes no sense to me whatsoever, but apparently it did to Bess.
Was it pray, tell, then listen?
Pray, if you read it in a sentence, it'd be pray, answer, talk, then tell, will, hurry, listen, look here.
Okay.
So, Houdini's wife, Bess, tried to contact the performer for 10 years after his death in 1926. Now, what she said, though, to go on with this, I mean, oh my God, we contacted him. Oh, wow, here's the proof. She said that she released that code to a few people already before the seance. So very well, somebody may have leaked that into someone else, and here we go. Let's make it up and make a big paper thing so we can sell more papers.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, I know there's this legend that goes around that in Detroit, there's people who have a seance to try and contact Harry Houdini every year.
And
on Halloween night. Yeah.
If somebody can give us some information
on that. Who are these people who do this?
If somebody can give us some information on that, possibly, I wouldn't mind attending that.
I wouldn't either.
That might be kind of cool. Wait, didn't you say they should charge like $15 though?
No. That's a different event. That's Holly Hotel.
Because I can't afford that right now. So.
No. I can take bottles back.
Yeah.
All these 2-liter bottles. But no, there's the Holly Hotel in Holly, Michigan. Has every year, evidently, they do this. It's a haunt. If you go to the Shadowlands, it's all over the place. It's a haunted hotel here in Michigan. And on Halloween, evidently, and I only heard about this last night, they have a seance for like $15 that you can attend. But I don't know. I haven't talked to the Holly Hotel. I might call and ask.
Well, on this Houdini seance, though.
So that's a different seance.
Yeah, it's a whole different one. We'll talk about that later. But seriously, if somebody has any information on that, ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com, please give us some information because wouldn't mind checking that out, maybe following it up next week, possibly, if we could do it.
Sure.
So, geez, it's after 9 o'clock.
That's it. We did it.
We have outdone ourselves.
2-hour show.
Over 2 hours.
Yeah, we talked
non-stop. I know, as soon as we stop, I'm going to fall out of this chair and pass out. I can feel it coming on right now. The caffeine is just not cutting it tonight.
Uh-oh.
We do hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We wanted to touch on the big things of Halloween, like the big things as far as the history goes.
Yeah, because you couldn't do, in even 2 hours, you couldn't do Halloween.
We really want to talk about the nostalgia, too.
We wanted to do felt, we wanted to do Halloween, we wanted to do the nostalgia, and I wanted to bring the Detroit, Michigan kind of connection in. Even though Ghostly Talk listeners are worldwide,
We want to give you guys a flavor of how wonderful the city is.
Down home. yeah. How wonderful Devil's Night is.
They burned the city down the night before Halloween. I mean, what more do you want? What more do you want out of a city when they set the place on fire? I mean, unfortunately, that's just the way things go. But we are broadcasters, so we have the power to say, don't do this, please.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
There's no need for it, because we're going to be out bouncing around trying to find cool stuff to do, and we're going to end up getting pulled over.
Yeah, and not only that, it doesn't even follow with any of the traditions that we found out.
No, nothing.
In our research. So whatever
it's
you're trying to do.
A bunch of yahoos out there trying to burn stuff down.
Yeah, the closest thing is to burn your own house down. So if you want to do that, do that. But don't burn anyone else's, because
there's hardworking people out there.
Otherwise,
they work hard for their homes and
otherwise
they burn down.
Yeah, you're not following Halloween tradition.
Yeah. So on that note, have fun this Halloween.
Yeah, have fun. Be safe.
I know this is like the height of mine right here. So you know we'll probably go out and do our own things, but
I'm gonna go down to Tom's if I can.
I'm
gonna
be looking boxes the rest of the week. I'm gonna be hurting.
But have a good one, everyone. Yeah. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Enjoy the holiday. It's a wonderful holiday. Don't let anybody tell you it's a satanic holiday.
It has beautiful roots, beautiful traditions.
Beautiful roots. Go out there and read on it. Learn.
And there were no human sacrifices. Well, they're divided on whether there were, but it wasn't a sacrificial kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a holiday that celebrated death, but it also celebrated life.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to get out of it, is it was about life.
And it was a big party.
Big party.
It was a New Year's party.
Like Halloween is. I mean, what do we do on Halloween? We party or something stupid. I mean, back in the day, it was like, candy! Candy all night long. I'm gonna eat enough candy. I'm gonna explode. Now it's like, okay, let's go to the bar.
It depends on how old you are.
I'm divided. But I mean, have fun though. Regardless of whatever you do, just don't burn anything down. Please.
And be safe.
Be safe. Take care of your kids. All that good stuff. I don't have kids.
And put your clothes on backwards and go for a walk.
That's one thing I'm gonna be doing.
Or put your clothes on inside out and go for a walk backwards.
Well, I know it's gonna be funny because I just moved in this new house and my two roommates. I'm going to be like just completely just ransacked. My whole room's going to get destroyed after they see it. They're going to be like, no, dude, no. you can't live here if you're going to be putting your clothes on backwards. I can just see
inside out.
Or yeah, I'm sorry.
Put your clothes on inside out, walk backwards. So give it a try.
Give it a shot.
Let us know. Ghostly Talk at ghostlytalk.com. We'll see you here next week.
Yeah, definitely. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk. Happy Halloween.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.